Hello, 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 everyone. My name is Niyama Xiang, and thank you so much for letting me be a part of your journey. I'm excited that we get to have this conversation here on the Outliers Edge podcast as we focus on a world of difference. This is really a world where you are seen, celebrated, and valued for who you are, and you own what makes you different to make a world of difference. It's fun for me when I said that last bit to make a world of difference. I felt like an announcer of some sort. Like it just kind of like smoothed in. It was a little bit too smooth. So I have to almost like remix myself in real time. I'm like, no, I don't want to be that kind of smooth. I want to be like smooth, smooth. But that's it, right? And one of the fun things here is like I know already that for someone out there, me remixing myself just made a world of difference for them. Me reach to myself, gave him a chance to be able to see, like, hey, wait, like, how am I showing up? And can I just play with that in real time? Can I change it up and actually just get 1 more % back into alignment with what is actually real for me? And so we're getting a chance to play here today. I got a chance to play with Lara Mar. It's amazing to spend time with you, Lara. I am excited for our conversation today. Let us see. Yeah, this first is just thank you. Thank you for saying yes to this invitation.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. We're still getting to know each other here, but like what I get about you is like you're able to think about things and bring that into your presence. What's cool about you is that like there's something about how you be in the world that like I can feel on this end. Like I had like a very frantic day beforehand. I was like, I'm grabbing like a piece of muffin like right before I'm like, I gotta fuel up, you know? And then I come into space and all of a sudden, like it's funny, but like things that felt important just like kind of drift away. I'm like, I can just actually bring even more presence to this moment. And I appreciate your like ability to like magnetize in presence and like just bring people into this moment, at least bring me into it. So I'm grateful for you. I'm excited to see what comes up as I'm like fully here. So let's play.
Let's do it. That's very sweet. Thank you. I'm excited
Yeah.
to be here too.
Awesome. So Laura, like I like to give people a chance to speak themselves into the room and let people get to know them. The way that I would like to do this with you is just to get a sense as to what is your mission. Like to put it lightly, why is your soul here on this
Oh, man.
earth?
Easy first question.
Yeah, right.
So I think that I am still sort of getting clear on that and figuring it out. But I think
Thank you.
over the
Thank you for
past
that.
few months, especially, it has become clear to me that what I really love to do, what lights me up, and what I'm pretty good at is helping people to create lives that are really fulfilling through creating their own business. And working with people who, have maybe been in corporate or, and are just not happy in that environment, or they've lost their job and are kind of freaking out and don't know what to do. And showing them that if they have the desire to create their own business, they're more than capable of doing it. And creating a life that has a tremendous amount of freedom, both in terms of time freedom and financial freedom, and allows them to have a life that they didn't really think was possible. So that's something that really lights me up, and I love working with people to do that. And I'm starting to think that maybe that's my mission.
Well, I'm excited to play with it. It's fun that you say like it's something that lights you up because right now there's a red light that keeps lighting up on
Oh,
you,
and
right?
the ambulance right
No. This is I get that. But it was like it was a really interesting like coincidence. You're like this is what
outside.
lights me up, and the world's like no. Like seriously, like this is it.
Literally.
Like yeah,
Literally.
it's literally calling for that. As you're talking, Laura, there's something here. I know from the little I know about you, even just so far, is that like why you're saying these things, it isn't actually coming from like a place, like it's coming from a place of experience, you know? So just like walk me through really quickly, like your experience with like, you know, being able to like, to become like get into entrepreneurship and so on and so forth. Like there's something there that I think like is more grounding than others who might like come out and it's like, I think it's possible. So I want to go do it. Or it's like, I think you're like, no, I know it's possible because I've lived it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I had sort of an unusual career trajectory. So, you know, I went to college thinking I was going to study business and Spanish and just have a very, you know, I don't even know what I thought, but I thought it was going to be pretty, pretty traditional. Pretty quickly, I learned that that was not really what excited me in terms of studying. I didn't want to study accounting and economics. And, you know, I loved the marketing and advertising side of things and the entrepreneurial side of things, but didn't want to study business per se. So I studied art history, kind of did a 180, and I was very lucky that my parents were really supportive of that. And then I graduated in 2009. So economy was not great.
I was like, as you said, I was like, she's going to say 2009. Yep. Like this is like, for y'all out here in the US, 2009 was like the worst year to graduate because of like the financial, like, all right, keep going. So sweet. You graduated in 2009 with an art history major.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And all right.
No internships, nothing, like no relevant experience. So I knew that I wanted to live abroad and I was leaning towards either Argentina or Spain because I wanted to practice my Spanish. But I knew some people in Argentina and I knew my money would go further there. So I decided to move to Buenos Aires after graduation, lived there for a year, sort of started working with somebody who had gone to my university and now lived down there, and was able to, this was like the, you know, pretty beginning of social media, right? So I was able to get a bit of experience in social media marketing at the very beginning, digital marketing, and it was a really wonderful experience. But after a year, I decided to come back to the States and move to New York. And I got a job working for a luxury lingerie retailer. So working in marketing there. It was a very small company. Working in marketing there. And I was there for 2 years. And I learned a tremendous amount. But it was not a great environment. I'll just say that it was not a place I was excited to go every day. And I actually ended up getting fired, which at the time was terrifying, but looking back was such a blessing in disguise. And I was 26, didn't have much money in the bank, living in New York, you know, it's tough. You know, it can be tough to make ends meet, even if you're making a pretty good salary. So, you know, I was a little bit in panic mode, but I interviewed for a few jobs, got an offer, but it was for a salary that was even lower than what I was making. And I was like, I have no guarantee this is going to be any less toxic. So I, for whatever reason, that 26-year-old me decided to just try to go it on my own. Started networking, started talking to people, asking for introductions to companies that might need social media support. And, you know, flash forward 10 years, and I've been working as a marketing consultant, freelance for this time, you know, working with some really big companies like Amazon and Samsung and Volvo, but then also working with startups and smaller companies, and just have been really lucky to have wonderful clients. And have also just had incredible freedom with my time and, you know, made more than I would ever make in a corporate role. So, you know, it just, like I said, it was a real blessing in disguise to lose that first job and that sort of set me on this path.
Can I ask a quick question here, Laura? Mm-hmm. Okay. You flash forward at a certain point. And so now I'd like to flash back. Okay. Right. And because like we got to this place where you're like, okay, I decided I was going to go and like be like go down the entrepreneurship path. And there's so many of the outliers and world shapers that are listening to this that are like in that space of making a decision, being at a jumping off point. For some of them, it's we're working full time in like in a corporate world. Like now, like it's a time for me to go start my business. It's a time for me to go make my impact. Other people have been working for a number of years on their own and they're saying, is this the time to do something that's more aligned to me? Or can I take this next risk of like step into this next level or whatever it is? So there's a lot of us here that are at that like transition point for like some kind of fork in the road, right? And so I'm appreciative because we know that the story ends well, right? Take us back though to your first like network, like your first, the first bit of like, hey, I'm going out on my own, right? Mm-hmm. Like before you got that, even that first client, right? And just like, just take us to that moment here around like, it may not be like what you were doing, but like, just help us see that part of the story. We'll take the conversation in a different direction, but I want to stay in that part of the story for a little longer.
So I think I was in sort of a unique position because the person I was seeing at the time had his own business and worked from home. And so I was, you know, every day seeing this person who was doing not what I wanted to do in terms of the work itself, but was seeing this person who was doing well and had created their own schedule and was making good money and had created their own brand. So I think I was sort of, you know, very lucky to have that as a model when I was in that position. But my thinking really was, you know, I'm coming from this environment that, you know, like I said, is pretty toxic. You talk about the Sunday scaries. I'm still close with a lot of my friends from that job. And I just remember we would send each other text messages on Sunday nights being like, oh God, starting to feel sick again. You know, it was just one of those environments that was not, you know, healthy for me to be in. So once I was no longer there was this weight was lifted, even though there were these other stressors that had kind of come up, like, what am I going to do next? But there was just this sense of like, whatever comes next is going to be better than what was. And I think that gave me the, you know, that helped me to like continue and say like, okay, I can do this on my own because now I know what I don't want. Like I'm very clear on what I don't want in a career. And so I don't know exactly what I do want, but I think this is the way to get there and we're just going to see what happens.
Yeah. So there's a couple things that are coming out to me in there, right? One is like, a lot of times I'm very much, I'm like, what do you want to create? You know, but there's another side of this, like, well, what do you absolutely not want to create? You know, mm-hmm. what do you not want to have happen? Okay. And mm-hmm. how can you use that to help you start down the path and get you to something? So I've seen that one. Two, I'm also hearing from you that like, you're like the place, I know what I've had so far and I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And so whatever else is in front of me has to be better. And I can mm-hmm. create that as better. I just think that there's something there around like being able to make that decision. Mm-hmm. I'm experiencing it. I'm trying to make that real right now for me in this moment where it's like, I know what it is. So recently I changed, I ended up changing like the clients that I was bringing into my business as well as like my business model and my primary like offering, right? So just a small change. yeah. And like one of the reasons I did is I was like, oh, I like it's really important to me to be working with like my natural energy is like, let's go do something big, but it's not a big deal to do something big. It's just like where I naturally go, you know. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I need to be around people who want to do something big. Like, and if that's not the case, then like, I know what happens when that's not the case. It's just like, it doesn't work. We're out of alignment. We're out of sync with each other. Cause it's like, it's just too much. It feels like a Tuesday question, but it's a big, big ask. So I'm recognizing that element of like, hey, what's ahead of you? The pain of your past, like, was enough to help you like decide to go off and do something different. And then there's one other thing that's coming here that I feel like I just want to like kind of like timeline it, right? This is happening around like 2014, 2015. Is that the timing of it all?
Yeah, I think 2013.
I was like, it might be even earlier. Yeah. And I'm thinking back to what I was doing in 2013, and I'm thinking about the world in 2013, mm-hmm. right? We're now in a place where people can go like the gig economy has a name. Like, you know, we're in a place where people work from home all the time and it's cool to be an entrepreneur. This was like, this 2013 was still the time when people were afraid of getting into a startup. You know, they're like, if you get in a startup, you don't know what's going to happen to you. Like, go ahead.
Yeah. And I remember dealing with this, like when I would try to get a new apartment and I would hear like, well, the landlord doesn't feel comfortable with somebody who works for themselves. And which I always thought was so interesting because like, if I have, you know, if I work for myself and I have 5 clients and I lose a client, I still have 4 clients. But if I work for a company and I have 1 job and I lose that job, I have 0 jobs. And like, you know, I just found it so interesting that was such a sticking point. And because in my experience, a job was not safe, right? Like I lost that job with not much warning, right? And so it's just, I think I have a very different view of job security because of that experience. And that has really shaped how I approach my own career and how I want to build my own future. But it also, especially in the past year or so, when we're seeing all these layoffs, you know, I go on LinkedIn and I see all these people who have, you know, incredible experience. They have an MBA, they've done all the like quote unquote right things, posting about how they've been let go in the latest round of layoffs. And it just really drives home to me that like, you care more about your future than a company does. And so like, therefore you can create more safety than a company can. And I know that like, there are definitely people who would disagree with that. And we could have an interesting debate about it, but it's been my experience and it's something I feel really strongly about. So that's like, I love working with people who are kind of like, I want to do this, but I don't quite know how, and I don't know if I can. And I love saying like, yes, you can, like, let's do it together.
Let's play with this here. Cause I'm not going to debate, but I am, but like what I'll probably do is sometimes I think is even more annoying than debating in mine. It's like, I'm going to take your idea to like, let's take it to like the 10,000th level, you know? So like, cause I'm like, yeah. This to me, I like unconventional thoughts. I like people who have contradictory or counterintuitive elements. And what I'm hearing from you is you're like, most people think that the way to be safe in their career is to get a job, you know, but the truth is like the real safety comes from being able to create clients at any time or being able to have your own business. Like there, you can lose. I really like that. You lose 1 job and you have 0 jobs. Like, I was like, yeah, like the math works. The math is mathing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pretty simple math there. I think, you know, on top of what you were saying, you know, I've created a company where I know I can go out and get additional clients. Something about entrepreneurship or having your own company makes you really resilient and really creative in a way that a lot of corporate jobs don't force you to be. And I think that contributes to that, you know, safety that entrepreneurship can offer, because you think in a very different way. And that to me is just such like you can't put a price tag on how valuable that is to be able to look at a situation and view it just very differently from someone who's always been in a, you know, 9-to-5 job and has never had to think about some of these, you know, things that entrepreneurs deal with day to day. So I think part of it really is that new skill set that you're forced to learn, because it adds value in so many areas of your life and just makes you like a very interesting and valuable thinker.
So let's do this here. I'm feeling called to like make real, right? Because I know you have experience in this here. So like help make this real here. Like in what ways? We'll do this. This is just a question for you. I'm never asking it, but like in what ways for you in your own experience have you seen, like, let's do three ways that having a being an entrepreneur was actually safer than having a job? And my invitation to you on this is to be as concrete as you can. You know, I had 5 clients versus the 1, like whatever it is. Like, just be as concrete as you can, because there's something in what you're saying that I'm like, I was a retirement actuary, so I spent my first part of the career all doing probability of risk. Like, risk is opportunity is what the Society of Actuaries like claim it. So like our model is. So like, I am all about this. And what I hear is you have a different assessment of risk than other people do. And as such, like let's make it real for them. Cause that's why the debate wouldn't have been interesting to me. Cause I'm like, most people think that you got to get a job. That's why most people are in jobs. Right. So like help make it real, like either share some accomplishments, share some wins, like help make it real as to like 3 times where you found being an entrepreneur was less risky than having a job.
So I think the biggest one is that if you are able to build your business as an entrepreneur, you see that additional income. So like, if you work for a company, they can pile more work on your plate and your paycheck does not change, you know, or it might change a little bit every couple years. But every time I take on a new client, that's, you know, tens of thousands of additional dollars in income that I'm seeing at the end of the year. So that, in terms of financial safety, that's just more money that I can put in savings or can invest in, you know, retirement or whatever it is that I choose to invest in. So I think the earning potential is much higher. And that, to me, when, you know, just being able to build that financial security is very important. And, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you're in charge of that, you know. A second one is, you know, freedom is very important to me. So like, being able to work on my own schedule, I don't want to be sitting at my desk from 9-to-5 and worried that I've missed some Slack message or email. That's just not how I work best. And I also love to be able to, you know, last minute say I'm going to go out to California to visit my parents and I'm going to spend quality time with them. You know, that's really important to me. And so creating a business that allows me to do that feels very safe and good to me. And then let's see, a third, I think, is really kind of what I said earlier. If you have one job, you have one job, and that can very easily become 0 jobs. But if you have 10 clients, you know, there have been times when I've had 10 clients at once, and you lose one, it's, I don't want to say it's a blip, but it kind of is. And I love my clients, so not to say that like they're a blip, but if you have like a short-term project that comes in and it's $5,000 to $10,000 and then the project's over, like, it's just been, you know, it's all positive, it's all upside. So that, to me, those are the big ones. And you know, it really is like the ball is in your court and the power is in your hands when it comes to networking and reaching out to people and building relationships. And yeah, again, you see directly the benefits of all that work.
You know, one of the things that I appreciate about you and hear you speak here is like, it's just your ease with like I'll just say exactly what I'm thinking. Your ease around like numbers and around products or offerings that like people might like back away from, right? You're like, look, if I happen to lose a client that was a short term project that was like $5,000 to $10,000, and like, you know, and it was just like it's a blip, right? Not like it's a great thing. It was a short term. We had people to do this, and what I want to call in is like, I hear for you like just the amount of groundedness that you have around it. Right. Like, cause I have clients who are like building out their business, and you know, we're talking about making a $5,000 or $10,000 like offering, and they freeze, you know, it's like, am I worth it? Like there's all these thoughts that go on through their mind. And I get it. Cause I've been there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so like, so there's something here that I feel like I'm talking to you, like that, this feels like a plus one in like the element of risk versus like safety. It's like the component that you're like, oh, I need to go make an extra 20K. Let me go find two short-term clients and like make this proposal to them. You know, like it's not just the math of it all, but what I get from you is like through your experience, like this is like, you're now in a place where this can just be, it feels somewhat natural. Does that make sense? Not to say that it is natural. Like I'd love for you to talk about if there's like some part where you're like, that's what I feel around it. But there's a maturity in that I think also really gives you a lot of like agency.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, because it's something that I definitely struggled with in the first couple years of my business, I would say. So you know, I would be making a proposal for, you know, like a $2,000 a month client. Which of course, again, it that's $24,000 a year. That's not nothing. But you know, I would get so anxious about it. And I would think like, oh, what if they can't afford it? Or what if I don't do an amazing job and get them all the results they want? And yeah, I struggled with it for sure. And you know, I definitely had some like negative money stories that I was working through. But there came a point, and I think, honestly, I think it was when I kind of like got to the root of some of those money beliefs and was able to really like process them and move through them, that I saw a lot more clients start to come in and higher paying clients. And I built relationships with people that consistently send me work, or, you know, just agencies that would approach me about retainer work. So yes, I have done a lot of work to get to this place. And there are still times when, you know, if it looks like a client isn't going to resign or whatever it might be, where I can kind of go back to that, like, oh God, place. But on the whole, I think I have seen over the past 10 years that like things do work out and things come through if you are, if you do good work and you maintain these relationships with people, they will want to keep working with you and send you to other people and refer you to other clients. And that has been my experience. And so it's one that I try to like lean into anytime I'm feeling a little bit anxious.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Laura, for just like being real about this year and like allowing us to like spend some time talking about it. I get to a place right now where it's not easy, you know. But what I feel is the groundedness, and I also feel like the respect that you have for it, right? It's because I've seen people who are like, I'll just do high ticket this, that, and the other, right? And it's like high ticket is always relative to the person, you know. One, and then two, it's like. There's a respect that I feel like you carry along with it. But at the same time, with that respect, you also like, it feels like it's something that you can like wield rather than having to yield to, you know? And you're like, okay, like over the time I've built what it takes to be able to ask for whatever I need to ask for and create the relationship as we need to. And from that point, having been there myself as an entrepreneur, to be able to say like, oh, if something is if I need to create some money, I can. And I might, and I might get sweaty palms as I'm asking for it.
Yeah.
But I can, you know? And it's like, and if this person says no, I'm not like, it's not like, oh, I ask my boss and that's the one time and that's it. You know,
I ask them once a year and they say yes or no and that's it. It's you're continuously growing and offering new things and figuring out what feels good and what makes you happy and what excites you. So yeah, it's exciting, and like, not to say it's not scary sometimes, but I think, and it depends on the person, what's more important to you, is the freedom more important to you, or is the, well, and I don't even want to say this because I don't think that's true.
I was like, I wonder if she's gonna catch it, because I'm like, what I hear from you, if there was like an overall theme of this year, is like it's like there's some variation on like more freedom, like in there, like you can take a path of more freedom that will lead you to actually more safety, you know?
Yes.
And there's we might have to use different language, different words here and there, but it's like it's the counterintuitive, like people think that they can be safe by doing it this way, and it's actually far more dangerous. Like
that's what
it's out of your control. Whereas this one's like there's more work that can be done, you know, but like you get to be a lot more in agency of your own future.
Yeah, I heard someone describe it recently as, you know, if you leave that corporate life, you know, the ceiling is now gone and you can make as much as you can make, but the floor is also gone too. So that paycheck coming in every 2 weeks is no longer guaranteed. But if you have the drive and the desire, the amount you can make just so far exceeds what any company would pay, you know, an individual employee. So yeah, and this is something that I think I've been really passionate about for a while. And I've always, for as long as I can remember, whenever a friend or family member kind of talks about like, oh, I'm frustrated with work, or I'd love to do this, I'm like, let's do it. Let's like start your own thing. And I'm just realizing like, oh, I think it's because I don't think working for someone else is safe. And I'm trying to like subconsciously protect you. And that's something that I'm just like kind of realizing over the past few months. And I'm still getting clear on how to describe it and how to word it. But it's something that, you know, I feel pretty strongly about. And I feel really passionate about helping people who want to make that shift to make it. Because it's not for everyone. But if it is for you, like, I love to work with people on that.
I think there's a good place for us to start wrapping up for today. And like, Laura, I'm grateful for you, because I think back to 2013, that's when I first actually started like dabbling and figuring out like I want to do entrepreneurship. And it, for me, it started out with the podcast, like, and so on and so forth. Like, I think back, like, I remember the books I was reading and all that, you know? And I think about the environment that was there and the support that was there and all that stuff. And I look at now and I'm like, yeah, if it was possible then,
yeah,
it's definitely possible now, you know? And with more experience. So I'm glad that you're putting it out there. I thank you. Please keep telling people your unconventional truth. Please let people know like how it is. Like, I think it's provocative, and there's a, like, whether or not it is the truth is irrelevant. For the right people, it is the truth that they've been waiting to hear. It's a thing that they've known deep down, and they're like, I didn't think it was safe enough for me to even say this out loud, you know? So I'm very, very grateful for you for choosing to be that voice, and choosing to let that out, and please keep playing with it. It will evolve. We'll keep talking, or like, and we'll just keep seeing how this thing keeps growing.
Well, thank you for reflecting that back. Cause I think when I first said it, I was like, oh, can I say that? I don't know if I can say that, but it feels right to me. So I appreciate you, sharing your thoughts with me on this hot take.
Absolutely. I told you I was going to reflect because I can't help it. So let's do this here. We'll wrap up with this here. One, for anyone that is like, that's like, hey, I do want to go build something. It's my time, you know? Or they may already be building something and they're like, I've been building something, but I don't have that level of confidence to like keep creating as I feel like Laura does. Like, how can someone best like stay in your world or go even further in your world?
Yeah. If you're on Instagram, you can follow me at Laura S. Maurer. And if I have a podcast called Calm the Hell Down, so I talk about how you can create this, you know, 6-figure plus business while you stay calm and grounded. And, you know, you can check out my website at lauramaurer.com. And I think that's pretty much it.
All right, cool. I like it. It's just like, it's simple. It's like, go, like, come find me, you know, I'm here. And then I like to end our conversations with what I call the time capsule question. And the time capsule works like this. Like, you right now have lived your entire life. You've had these experiences and it's gotten you to this point, right? This, you're going to go off and create and do even more from here. But there'll be a time where you're like, you're doubting something or you need to be reminded of something that you know right now. What's the message that you want to leave for yourself that like, so you like never forget or will be like the thing you need to hear when times get tough for you in the future?
I think it would probably be just to remember that you were able to create a business and support yourself and create a life of freedom that really brings you a lot of joy. And so, you know, if there are times when things are kind of rocky or don't seem like they're going the way you want, just remember that you did that once, you can do it again, and you have the tools necessary to achieve that.
There we have it. I appreciate you, Laura. Thank you so much. All right,
appreciate you. Thank you.